I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
No one likes them, but they don't care. They've got the bark and the bite, or should I say, roar. So come down to the den, if you dare. It's the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport.
New ringtone, that is.
Absolute banger.
It is such a banger. Such a... Well, the truth of the matter is I've actually got it, so it's on like my playlist as well. For holiday.
You're going to take that to Dubai?
Yes, mate.
People will ring you in Dubai with that as your ringtone.
It's brilliant. It's an absolute tune, isn't it, Harry?
It is. I'm just jealous. I'm not on it, really.
Well, maybe we should do a remix, or, you know, like a choir type of... Maybe we could do it in that studio next door.
What, a choir?
Like a, you know, Millwall, and when do like a recorded version
the
of
whole
it.
Gang.
Zampa as well.
Maybe not Zampa.
I don't know if we can organise Zampa.
Bellina and Zampa.
Now what we'll do is we'll get you know the
Millwall Football Club, as we know you're listening.
Could you do us a lend of your mascots? Alternatively, you know that massive lion that with the cross eyes in the press room?
Never been in the press room.
It's scary.
It's like a huge stuffed toy of a lion, isn't it?
Hook us up with him. I don't know what his name is.
Rory. If it has a name, I don't know. Probably. It must have. Lenny the Lion, perhaps.
We've got a new member. He's been promoted from the development squad. I don't know.
You
know,
it was meant to be Danielle, who can't be with us tonight.
Yeah, she failed a late fitness test.
Have you ever seen those T-shirts? When I went to New York, all I got was this lousy T-shirt. Well, we were meant to have Danielle, and all we got was this lousy Brandon Pragnell.
I'll try my best. I really will. I'll give it my best shot.
I'd like to point out he's currently sweating profusely with his national radio debut.
I'm only kidding.
Give us your details then. Let's have the stats. Let's have the form.
Well, I'm a Millwall fan. I only go to home games.
So, pal.
I only go to home games. I think some fans that might be a disgrace.
Where do you sit?
I work in the club shop, so I stand most places. I do, so, and I actually find it better standing than sitting sometimes, especially in the ones where they're all full and everyone's there and you're just up. I think it was QPR before one of the games where it was mostly sold out, and when you're standing and everyone's shouting, it's fantastic.
Oh, nice. It's an electric surge. Danny Baker described it as being plugged into National Grid electric supply.
Yeah, it's just
but that was Coldblow Lane back in the old days.
Yeah.
So listeners, if you've got any issues with the club shop, you can ring in tonight and Brandon is available to take your calls.
Yeah, thanks to our newfound little loving relationship with Millwall Football Club, we're opening up the customer service lines for an extra
Crom logos that come off.
I've never felt more loved in my entire life.
Love you too. For an extra hour, we're opening up your customer service lines. And young Brandon over here is going to be answering your questions.
Shirt collars that come off.
Yeah.
Badges that fray.
Exactly.
Call us.
Yeah, 0208 7020 558. Whatever issues you've got with your garments. If you want to know about how to wash them as well, we'll tell you the.
He's your man.
Inside out, 30 degrees, job done. Happy
Brandon
days.
Is here for you, listeners.
Washing machines live longer with Calvin.
Yeah, washing machines live longer with Brandon.
Yes, they do.
Let's leave him alone. Let's move on to Brentford.
Yeah. Let's talk
Don't
about
leave them
talk,
alone.
Talking about things that wash come out of the wash and fall apart. That was a Mill defence last week, apparently. Did you go, Barry?
I didn't go. I have a problem with West London football. We've discussed this.
Yeah.
It's all a bit plastic.
What was the problem?
It's all a bit plastic. It's not real football, is it? I feel sorry for the man, our producer tonight, whose team have decided to spend £105 million in the summer to sell their soul. And that's West London in general. So,
he's eating some form of sandwich at the moment.
He's nearly choking on it, I bet. Because I thought they were a fantastic football side last season, and they decided
to
throw it away. No.
No. A flop for the Lions at Brentford, I've written on my notes, listeners. From what I gather, I wasn't there either. I was otherwise detained on family issues.
Detained?
Yeah, detained.
Against his will.
On family issues. So I couldn't make the Brentford game, but it doesn't sound like a great performance. With Neil Harris speaking after the game, said Saturday was a step backwards. Sounds like defence was stepping backwards as too.
I think Murray Wallace at left back isn't great. I'll be honest.
Can't be an answer. I mean, I'm very average about Murray Wallace. I don't dislike him. Equally, he doesn't exactly set me on fire. So to see him playing at left back over James Meredith, who I accept hasn't had a great season, it just seems slightly odd. There's a slight sticky tape kind of feeling to the side at the moment where it's being held together. You know, it's okay in single games, but I can't see how we can build a season around that kind of approach, not this early.
I agree. I just think that maybe... I think I've seen the future.
And what is that future?
The future...
Is it League One?
In like
No, League One. Millwall can't play 4-4-2 forever. I love 4-4-2. It's had its time. It's worked for Neil Harris. But I think we've been fanned out. And we do have players at the club. We don't have to launch the ball from Jake Cooper 45 yards at a big man. We can play through the lines. We do have players that can do that. The problem is, you know, there's been news at the Den article this week about Fred being away on loan.
Yep.
And I saw Jamie Pryor. We love Jamie Pryor's work. Jamie Pryor is the man that does the alternative commentaries, Aaron, that I know you like.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan.
Jamie Stephen Hawking voice.
Yes. Jamie Pryor put...
It's Siri, mate. It's Siri.
Or Microsoft Sam, circa 1990.
Remember Sam.
Stephen Hawking from Beyond.
Microsoft Paperclip.
Yep. Go away, Paperclip. No one likes
beyond
you.
Beyond the black hole in the universe. It's Stephen Hawking's voice. Still following the lines.
Yeah. He does that, obviously, the Stephen Hawking voice, or Microsoft Sam, or whoever else it may be. And basically said, our knuckle-dragging section of our support, which, you know, I think that's a bit harsh, but I agree that some people like 4-4-2 and would see 4-4-2 played until the end, will get on Fred's back because he's a Millwall boy more than... You know, Tom Elliott, and it's exactly what happened with John Marquez. John Marquez has gone away and is having a good career, whereas Fred needs to be given time to develop, but you don't get that time at Millwall. So, Millwall have to buy in players, and the fact is that we've bought in this £1.5 million, £1.2 million Tom Bradshaw, and you've seen him for 9 minutes, and he played an outside of the foot pass in the last home game, which I looked at and I went, well, that's £1.5 million. I've never seen a Millwall player do that. I've never seen someone hit a 45-yard outside of the foot cutting ball, and Morrison managed to mess up a side foot pass back to him, which sums it up perfectly of the old and the new. We're in transition. We're not going to be a playoff side, but I can see the future, and we're going to be all right. We've just got to survive now.
I've got a question about the 4-4-2.
Yes.
Aaron Paul, Conservative. No.
I always do the right honourable gentleman for hiring good.
The right honourable gentleman. With 4-4-2, there are three teams within the South London area I want to pick on. One of them actually playing at the moment, Wimbledon. One of them Crystal Palace, one of them Millwall. They all play 4-4-2. They've all tried to change their style and it's not worked. Is it a case of square pegs and round holes?
I don't think we tried to change our style. I just think the difference between us and Palace, I mean, I've watched quite a bit of Palace because they've been on telly a lot recently. I mean, you couldn't pay me to go there. I just think they play to Wilfried Zaha. We just play to League
Wouldn't you?
No, because he's not that good. He really
Who's better in their team?
No. I'm not saying he's not in their team. Sorry.
4-4-2 doesn't have to be launch the ball relentlessly at a big man, does it? I mean, there are some of the great teams in football.
Man United won the treble with 4-4-2.
Yeah. I remember AC Milan in their pomp.
Yeah, for that eight strikers.
Predates United's pomp, but they were also playing a form of 4-4-2. It doesn't have to be, Wimbledon 1988, where it just goes bang down the middle. The problem that we have is that we don't have a second string to our bow. It is always launched at Tom Elliott or Steve Morrison as they interchange.
Or Jeb Wallace.
And then the knockdown finds, hopefully Gregory. Seems not Bradshaw. I think that the Bradshaw story is going to be one of the strangest stories in Mill's history. The previous record holder was a bloke called Paul Goddard, who was a flop. And we haven't played... Tom Bradshaw, having paid $1.2 million for it?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the problem that I feel is that Jed's not had a bad season. It's that if you stop Jeb Wallace, you stop Millwall playing it on the floor. Last season on the run, I mean, we are being a little bit harsh because we are only 1 point worse off than what we were at this stage last season. Let's not forget that. But last season, we got Ben Marshall at Christmas, who is now at Norwich, and we had balance, and we found a balance, and we could whip the ball in from either side, and the strikers went further forward, and we won games. I don't know how much Ben Marshall is, but let's sign him, please, if he's not playing.
I would have gone for Kiefer Moore as a striker.
Apparently we're interested in some bloke who's like some Tom Eaves at Gillingham. Is that right?
I don't know.
He's alright.
This is the rumour.
Yeah. He's a tall player.
Is he another target man? Is he like Sam Parkin on
He is
on
another relatively big player.
He's a Millwall
big
player.
Big John Parkin.
Case,
yeah, he's at Gillingham at the moment.
Class.
He's not too bad. Hmm. But again, it's another big target man that we're going for. So it's do we want to play another style or are we going to stick with 4-4-2?
Let's sign Peter Crouch.
I think that the there are some realities. The Den would not tolerate what Brentford try and do with the ball, which is to keep it. I watched Forest play on TV a couple of weeks ago, playing the ball around, teams playing the ball inside their own penalty area, trying to pass the ball. How many teams have you seen doing that this season?
How dare you?
People always talk about that Brentford style of play. What did they achieve with it?
It's like Spurs, isn't it?
Nothing. I mean, football is a results business, so what they achieve with it, well, they're not promoted to the Premier League, which is what the expectation would be with that style of football. Fulham went up last season with a beautiful style to watch,
but then
they found out when they get there.
But Fulham put better quality players in to play that system. And unfortunately for Fulham, I think this season, and Dom's outside, and I think you probably agree with me, he's a bit shy tonight. But they bought players for the sake of it. And I'm wondering, is that the case with Bradshaw? Did they think, we've got a bit of money in our pocket
we
now?
We don't have the resources for that. I mean, Fulham, a club of a certain level, but I mean, they're backed by bigger money than we have backing us. I don't think we can't take players off the market by soaking them up like Chelsea.
let's be honest about Bradshaw. Bradshaw, in the flashes that he's had, has been really good.
Yeah.
And the problem I find is that Lee Gregory is, regardless of his contract issue, which... Millwall, I think, want to keep Lee Gregory.
But the question that I pose, I think, in my notes later on is, can we, should we, ought we to change style one quarter of the way into the season with Christmas looming? I'm not sure we can.
And that is the question. 0208 70 20 558 is the number to call. It's Love Sport Radio with your Millwall fan show on your Friday night. We're going to be talking to Adrian Forbes a bit later on. We're just looking back at some of your memories of him. Only played 13 or so games for Millwall. Not sure who signed him. Was it
Kenny Jackett?
Kenny
signed
Jackett.
Him. Yeah. Apparently, Kenny signed him at Swansea. Played for Swansea, and then Jackett obviously moved on to Millwall and signed Forbes. In 2008, 2009, he played 13 times, no goals. Remember him well. It was a season where we reached the playoff final, I believe. Was that the season when Gary Alexander scored his fantastic
greatest goal at Wembley ever?
The greatest goal ever scored at Wembley. Yeah. So he was part of that. I mean, obviously, he seems to have moved around various clubs.
He was literally at Millwall for about a year and a month, you know. We're gonna be talking to Adrian a little bit later on. Haringey 0 Wimbledon 0 in the FA Cup. 64 minutes on the clock there. Chaps, do we want to sort of like sum up Brentford?
Well, when you weren't there,
difficult.
Real wall.
Only gone by the goals and the reports that I've read, which sounds like everyone, including Neil, was slightly left flat as a pancake afterwards. 2-0 defeat in a London derby. It sounded like it never took off. So doesn't sound like there was much to generate much excitement there.
No,
I think it was disappointing on the back of some decent results.
I listened to the iFollow coverage. Our very own Sam Brown was there.
She was.
Big
she
up.
Was.
Big up, big Sam.
And just say hello to Sam, because she's had a tough old week this week.
I hope you're okay.
Big up, big Sam.
Yeah, big Sam. She's big Sam. Sam, I hope you're okay.
Move on.
That was the tribute hour here on the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport.
No, but on a serious note... Yeah, listening to it, it was the most tedious of games. I mean, Millwall should probably have been 3-0 up. Cooter missed a couple of chances inside the box. They didn't. Bentley done his usual prima donna preening peacock style against us, which seems to infuriate us every time. I just want someone to leave one in on him.
Who, Bentley?
Yeah.
He's like a poor man's Joe Hart, isn't he?
He's not really a poor man's Joe Hart. I think he's more of a poor man's Jordan Pickford. He gets out of his goal, shouts at people, and no one really pays attention to him. He's the typical South End boy, isn't he? I mean, I'm from Essex, so I know what they're like.
What goes down Baz Vegas for a night out?
He goes down Festival Leisure Park. He's there.
You ever been down Festival Leisure Park?
No, I haven't.
He doesn't drink. Drink responsibly.
Lee Gregory says we weren't at it, and they were. I suppose that sums up that performance in a nutshell.
I expect Millwall to be at it tomorrow, though.
Well, it's from what I read, there was a bit of a lock-in in the dressing room. I dare say not a nice kind of lock-in, a fraught, fractious exchange of views style lock-in after the game.
I just think it's got to click eventually away from home, because for some reason we just struggle away from home, and it goes on at the start of the season. I mean, last year, we seemed to just get over it. I think it was Leeds, and then we just went on this fantastic run. I think we need a game where a bit of luck just goes our way. Maybe just a lucky goal and we might be able to defend it.
We managed to go in front this year away from home? Because I don't think we have. No, I think we're always chasing the game.
No, and we haven't done it away from home. We've had some okay results. I thought the Aston Villa result was an okay result. We came from behind there, if memory serves. They went one up. Then we've come back
from Forest.
Forest, we've done well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Leeds last season was one of those apocalyptic Millwall games that you get. You know, everything explodes from there. But we also rode our luck in that. And, I mean, you know, you're right to identify that, because there was games where, you know, the opposition hit the crossbar at the post.
James Meredith about 9 off the, line last season.
You know, it was one of those one-off runs. We're not getting much luck at all at the moment, that's for sure. Should it end? Well, it must at some stage, I suppose. It's
Preston away.
Hopefully this season it'll end. But certainly, it's hard to take much from the Brentford game. And, of course, tomorrow we're at Norwich, who are on fire at the moment.
Yeah, they've had an interesting one. I mean, Daniel Farke, I wasn't too sort of impressed by, but he seems to have implemented a style and got players firing.
Eventually.
Yeah. They're an odd one, aren't they?
I mean, they got thumped by us last season at home. We won 4-0, didn't we? 4-0?
Interesting results. We either get stuffed up there, like badly, as in 6-5s or 6s, or else we beat them quite convincingly. But then it's a very odd sequence of results. 4-0 it was last season.
Yeah, that was the away game was on New Year's Day this year, and I went. And
I didn't go.
I went the back to back, the long sort of, we had a really horrible sort of December, January last year, didn't we? We went Aston Villa, the last shopping weekend before Christmas.
Yeah, I went to that
then
one. Yeah.
I went to that one. We went, then we had Norwich on New Year's Day, yeah. And then we had Leeds sort of the week after. And we probably deserved to win at Villa. We definitely didn't deserve to get beaten at Norwich, but we did. And we were the masters of our own downfall, 1-0 up at half-time and lose 2-1. And I saw Ryan Tunnicliffe at left midfield, which is a sight I never want to see again.
The thing I don't get with this team, last season we fired and we got fire in the belly and we got this kind of Millwall surge of results and it mayhem follows. This season we just can't quite get it fired on, can we? We had a couple of okay results and I thought we might kick on from Villa, then we go and produce a flop at Brentford, and it's just hard to quite read the squad. I don't quite get this collection of players at the moment.
I don't know if we maybe are a little bit tired. I know it sounds silly, but like emotionally tired, because we were so close last season. It's got a hurt inside. You must know you're not really good enough, you know. I think we weren't any worse than Fulham, but, you know, they had the head start in terms of getting the playoffs. And after we lost against them, the season was effectively over. We beat Villa on the last day or whatever, but since then, I mean, it's football's a funny game with luck. Mm. Football's a funny game with how teams feel. A defeat can sometimes feel well-deserved, or you feel well done by a defeat, but equally the same as a win, you're almost better off scraping a lucky win than you are by dominating a side sort of like against Ipswich. You're better off not deserving winning a game and having a scrappy 1-0 win where you don't deserve to win, that galvanises you, that gives you strength and gives you a sort of, you know, every prove the doubters wrong kind of thing. Whereas, you know, turning up against Ipswich, we've hardly got out of second gear.
It was a 3-0 win, but that wasn't exactly a showstopper, was it?
Is that the best way to prepare for harder games, you know, if you understand what I'm saying? So I think the season doesn't actually feel like it's started for me. No. I still, because of these international breaks, I don't feel like we've had a run of games.
I'll give you a juddery start. It's funny just thinking about the point you've made there, Harry. Since that disallowed goal, it was about 3 or 4 minutes into the Fulham game, nothing's been quite the same since. I mean, it was that kind of, immense first half where we threw everything at them. We had a disallowed goal. I think, did we hit the woodwork in that game?
We hit the ball about twice, didn't we?
Oh, my.
It's disallowed, isn't
it? Oh, it's been disallowed.
I was the FA Cup.
Wow. Haringey had the ball in the back of the net. The human ruler had his flag up. And
was he offside?
Yes, he is offside.
Great decision.
VAR comes into play there.
The collective pause there just
it was offside.
Because we were going to
Wimbledon haven't been great. They've been absolutely on the ropes.
But what are they supposed to, I know I'm going off Millwall, but what are they supposed to do? They're playing a non-league side on TV on a Friday night.
On a 3G pitch.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation.
It's a 4G
pitch, actually.
3G, 4G, it's not EE, mate.
A few years ago, we played Staines away. Did you go to Staines?
I did. I went and played the massive
Leisure Centre. With a Leisure Centre football pitch at the back and, you know, a couple of steps of terracing, such as he had. And it was a difficult game. I mean, it's a bit like what Haringey are doing with Wimbledon here. I mean, you just can't really win. We went a goal up and then they got a penalty. They had a bloke dressed up as Ali G walking around the side of the pitch. The whole thing was just you just wanted to get out of there, really.
It felt like the worst ever village fate you could go to.
The worst of those pitches are, you know the hockey carpets that they used to play on?
Yeah, they get like the rubberized
balls. No, the ones without the rubberized balls.
On the sand.
The sand ones. They were terrible.
Like Luton back in the 80s.
That's it, exactly. We're going to take a pause and we're going to come back with the opposition view next. Yeah, time to get an opposition view. Someone who's had feet in both camps, although I'd hasten to EE probably favours Norwich, over Millwall, having played 10 times more games for the Canaries than he did for the Lions. Adrian Forbes joins us now. Adrian, how are you, pal?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad at all.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. First and foremost, you began your career at Norwich City. I presume they're your club, they're your team.
Yeah, I think it's slightly biased for me this weekend in that obviously Norwich did give him my start at such a tender age of making my debut at 17, but obviously playing for the club from the age of 11 and now obviously being part of the coaching team within the academy and being a lead coach there, I'm going to have to be back in the yellow and green boys this weekend.
I mean, you were born in Greenford. How did you end up in Norwich?
Well, it's quite an interesting story in that I was playing for, I was going to say, I was born in Greenford and playing for a team in Hounslow called West Middlesex Colts. And we were quite successful, the team that I was playing in. We went to a place called Great Yarmouth, which is 20 miles or so outside Norwich. Played in a competition there, and you know there was a couple of scouts there that saw me play. And the rest is history. Then done my GCSEs and moved to Norwich once I finished my GCSEs, and fortunately was successful on trying to become that professional footballer.
And obviously, you know, you had a successful spell at Norwich and then played at Luton, Swansea and Blackpool. And then you rock up at the Den. What was it like? I mean, what was it? 10 years ago now, you turned up in Millwall and you came in, and, you know, it wasn't the best of spells. I mean, yeah, but what did you take from it?
I think the two things I take from it is, you know, obviously it's been well documented what Millwall was potentially like in the past. But what I can say is, you know, I was welcomed with open arms at that club. And whilst, you know, when I joined, the team was suffering with a lot of injuries. Performances weren't particularly great on the pitch. And I think certainly from the January to the end of that season, I was there, first of all, I think I had quite a big impact on the team. I think the second season, those players that I came in around that were injured got back to full fitness, and the harsh reality was that those players were better than I was. And, you know, my time at Millwall came to an end probably sooner rather than I was hoping. But the reality is I've made some good friends there that I continue to speak to. And it was a part of my footballing journey that certainly shaped and helped me on my journey now to the coach that I am.
Adrian, I've noticed that you've played under Kenny Jackett's management twice in your career at Swansea.
Yes.
And again, obviously at Millwall, as you've just been describing. Very well-respected manager in the game. I'm guessing that you every team you've played at, you would take a little bit of the management style away from that for your own career. What did you make of Kenny's style? He's extremely well thought of at the Den still to this day.
I think that it was Kenny's attention to detail. And that's no disrespect to any other managers that I've been fortunate enough to play under, and I have played under some very good managers, but I think it was Kenny knew exactly what he needed from his players to win each specific game. And he also knew what the opposition were going to bring to the table as well. So I would go into any one game knowing exactly what the left back was going to do, what his attributes were, what his strengths were, what his weaknesses were. And I think each individual around the pitch knew that. And certainly that was the case at Swansea, where I probably had a closer relationship with him at Swansea, and obviously led to a lot of success when I was there with him.
Yeah.
But I think certainly from my point of view now going into the coaching, and albeit, you know, at Norwich I'm in charge of the under-9s to under-12s, what we call the foundation phase.
Right.
But there's still some really key messages that I learned from Kenny about that attention to detail, about giving the players real, precise, concise information to impact on the team as well as the individuals. And I think that's something that I've learned, you know, very, very quickly from Kenny. A lot of people that I've heard in the past have talked about Kenny's his use of set pieces and how he relies on them quite often. But I think the thing I'd take away from that was actually set pieces are a vital part of the game.
Absolutely.
And knowing how to defend that set piece or knowing how to score from that set piece separates, you know, the team that's successful at the end of the season or that team that's fighting a relegation battle. So that was definitely for me, hopefully when I am coaching and working with older players, that is certainly something that I will take with me there as well.
It's funny that you just mentioned that with older players, that's something, obviously, if you end up coaching those. Sort of Kenny has had a kind of a trend in his career that he tends to work with older players. Especially at Millwall, he never really brought a lot of youth through. Is there any particular reason that you could see that why managers would prefer that, or was Kenny just more of those that you wanted players to do an apprenticeship elsewhere before so they were more the finished article when he was coaching them, kind of thing?
I think it's certain players and certain clubs could be, you know, victims of circumstance as well. You know, if you look at the time when I came into Millwall, you know, we weren't in a position where you could potentially afford to blood young players coming through. You know what it can be like at the Den sometimes. It can be quite hostile.
we might know.
as well as, and you know, and that's the reality, as well as when the team's playing well, performances are good and goals are going in, it can be some of the best fans that you could possibly ever want to play against. But the reality was, certainly when I came in, that the team weren't performing great. So in my opinion, that wouldn't have been the right time to have brought young players in. If we link it to Norwich City at the moment, where we are performing quite well, we're obviously second in the table at the moment, albeit on goal difference, and we've got young players in there, like Max Ahrens is playing right back, Todd Cantwell, Jamal Lewis. We've got some real good young players that are playing and performing and have been a real, in my opinion, vital part of, you know, what has brought the success so far this season. But good performances allow you to blood those younger players. It allows those players to thrive and develop in a, not in a non-threatening environment, but the threat is going to be a lot less, you know, when you are playing and performing well at the top of the table. And I think that's probably what I would say for Kenny, is that the teams he's had, he's probably not had the opportunity to blood those youngsters due to the circumstances of league position and what's been at stake.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Adrian, I read somewhere that you're now the pitch announcer or the stadium announcer. Is that true?
That, believe it or not, my man, that is very, very
true. How'd you land that gig?
I'll be hearing you tomorrow.
You will be hearing me tomorrow. Well, that's an interesting one as well, in that it is the old managing director, chief exec, that used to be at the club at Norwich City, heard the way I spoke, liked the tone of my voice, and also was mindful of the relationship that I have with the Norwich fans, obviously being in and around the club for a long time, and obviously being brought up in this area from 16 and then moving on and now coming back. And it goes back to, I think it was 2015, when Norwich played Ipswich, actually in the playoff finals, championship playoff finals, obviously, to get promoted to the Premier League. And he sort of said, David McNally, his name was, he said, Forbesy, I'd like you to announce the teams and get the crowd going before the Ipswich game at Carr Road. And my first response was, nah, you're all right, David. Anyway, we'll leave that. And he was like, no, I don't think you understood what I said. I want you. And he was the boss at the end of the day. So he turned around from, no, I'm not doing it. So, okay, no problem. I'll be there. And it stemmed from there, really, in that I did it. The crowd responded really well. I think some of the things the fans have said is that they can sense my passion for the club and being on the pitch, etc. It comes through on the mic. And it just sort of escalated from there. And I've done it, you know, every year since. It's difficult to do the midweek games due to my coaching commitments for the club. But certainly every Saturday game, as I will be tomorrow, I will be on the pitch naming those teams.
Do you think you'll be naming a Mr. Ben Marshall tomorrow?
Possibly. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Because if you don't want him, I'll quite happily put him in my car and he can bring come back with me. You can pay him $25,000 a week, rumoured to be. If you want, I mean, we'll take him. I can give him a warm meal and a bed. That's all we need. But
again, you know, I think Ben's probably been the victim of circumstances as well, as I mentioned earlier, in that he had a little bit of an injury. You get yourself back to full fitness and you get back to full fitness and the team are winning week in, week out, but also putting in some really good, solid performances. So it makes it very hard for Daniel Farke at the moment to change a great deal of personnel unless there is that injury or unless that is that suspension. So, you know, it's that age-old thing with football. It's about biding your time. And whilst no player out there, no squad member out there should wish that injury or that suspension upon someone, the reality is in anyone's career, there will be a time where you have to bide your time and, you know, wait for that opportunity. But I'm sure from his point of view, he'll want to be out on that Carrow Road pitch tomorrow in front of, obviously, his now home fans at Carrow Road. But obviously against, you know, and seeing those Millwall fans that obviously respected him when he played for them as well.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get respect if he plays tomorrow. I'll be totally honest with you.
I was trying to be politically.
I can afford not to be. I generally think, and I'm not just saying this, I generally do think he's one of the best players I've ever seen at the Den. Technically, a fantastic player, and normally with a technical player at Millwall, they tend to go a bit missing in the battle. But he can do a battling performance as well. He's not just a flair player that you get with a winger sometimes. He can do it all for me. So I don't understand, with the greatest respect to Norwich, why he's at Norwich either. You know, I mean, for me, he's better than some. You know, Cardiff should have signed him. Someone in the Premier League should have signed him. I can see him at a Burnley, if you understand what I mean. You know, a very, very talented player.
Yeah, and again, you know, that is the game. It's a game based on opinions, and you would have seen him in real close quarters down there, of course, but it's down to someone, whether it be, you know, a Burnley, a Cardiff, someone like that, a team that has been promoted, taking that gamble. And, you know, it might be a case of they might not have seen what you guys have seen week in, week out and regularly, but, you know, again, with my yellow and green hat on, he could potentially get the chance to be in that Premier League team next season, you know, if Norwich continue the performances that they put in recent weeks.
Norwich seem to be in great form at the moment, Adrian, on fire almost, scoring goals willy-nilly. We're struggling a little bit at the moment. Where do you see the game going tomorrow? What's your prediction?
Without my green hat on, it's a difficult one, because obviously I was fortunate enough to play in a team with Neil Harris, and he's someone that I respect, you know, massively. And even when I went there, you know, and being in the dressing room with him, even though someone I played against, you know, we're similar ages, it was still like, wow, that's Neil Harris, you know, everyone knows. So it was great for me to be, you know, in a dressing room with him and in the team with him, and now seeing him, you know, what he's done as a manager. I wish him nothing but success. But I think if you look at the momentum that Norwich City have at the moment, I can only see a home win. And I think what you've mentioned there at the moment, that we're turning so many of our attacks into goals. You know, it's been a real, real, real positive, and the goals are coming from several different people as well, which I think is a vital part to get any team success at the end of the season. You know, I don't think Norwich City are ever going to be a club that's going to rely on having someone up top that's going to score 20 goals a season. So it does need to be, you know, 8 or 10 from your main striker, 4 or 5 from, you know, either wing, and a couple from your centre midfielders. The big ugly defenders coming at the back with an odd header as well. You know, it seems to be that the whole team are chipping in with goals. So I can't see anything but a home win tomorrow. But I do know that Millwall will come here and they will defend resolutely, I would like to think. They will create opportunities. And, you know, it would just be a case of making sure Norwich can limit the opportunities that Millwall do have.
You've cheered me up no end, Adrian. I'll get you on the show more.
You should know, Adrian, you played for us. We're the world's worst favourites and the world's best underdogs.
I'm wondering if we have to drive up there tomorrow now. But anyway, we'll hopefully produce a Millwall performance tomorrow.
Who do you think is going to be the danger man for Norwich? Who do Millwall need to stop if they are to actually get a result out of this game?
Well, I think if you look at him in recent weeks, you know, Timu Pukki, who's been playing up front, you know, his performances have been very good, and he's got some goals to match as well. And I think his movement has caused a lot of defenders a lot of trouble, but we've also got the likes of Jordan Rhodes as well, that with Timu's performances hasn't started many games, but to have to be in a position where you've got the likes of Jordan Rhodes, who is a proven championship goal scorer, you know, sitting on the bench, it speaks volumes. But also, we've got, you know, as I said, you know, Jamal Lewis and Max Aaron's left back and right back. You know, we've got two young, energetic players that want to get up and down the pitch. And certainly Max Aaron's performance last week against Sheffield Wednesday, he was, albeit a right back, he was a real attacking threat as well. So you look at those players and you think they'd be one to look at, potentially from a defence, turning defence into attack. But for me, if he starts, Timo Pukki would definitely be one for, you know, for the Millwall fans to be wary of.
Give us a score prediction for tomorrow, pal.
Oh, I'm going to go big. I'm going to go for a 3-1 Norwich win.
Ouch. 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 Ouch.
Sorry. Sorry. I'll know if loads of people have listened tonight if I get all sorts of stick when I'm on the pitch tomorrow with my microphone.
What's your Twitter handle?
Keep it quiet.
Get undisclosed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. Brilliant. For joining us, Adrian. Delighted to welcome you on this evening. Adrian Forbes, former winger for Millwall,
right midfield,
and Norwich City as well. We're approaching 90 minutes, and Wimbledon have scored. Wimbledon have grabbed a late winner, and Haringey absolutely gutted. They've played absolutely brilliantly, but it looks like Wimbledon have won this FA Cup tie. The question is, has that saved Neil Ardley's job? Haringey not too pleased with their defending at all. Unfortunately, it's my mate who's headed the ball back as well.
It's not bad. Mark, no, you should stop that cross.
That's a nice goal. It's a nice finish.
The first heading is not that bad.
It's not good, but look at the keeper. He's just let that. He just put one arm up.
It's deflection.
It's taken a deflection.
Yeah. But he should react better.
Mitch Pinnock.
Yeah. That's the proverbially difficult place to go on a Friday night in a pouring rain, isn't it? Haringey Borough.
Is that not... he looked a bit like Denzel Garrah.
Who?
Millwall. Yeah. A famous Millwall.
A Denzel Garrah.
Yeah, famous Millwall goalkeeper.
Run out the arc.
Yeah. What a name. Not as good as a name as Hubert Busby, who of course made no appearances for Crystal Palace. Yeah, are you paying way too much for your energy bills and insurance? You could be saving hundreds of pounds by shopping around. Find out just how much you could save by going to aspokesmansaid.com. Search for the cheapest deals on your energy bills and the best value for your home, car and travel insurance. Don't take our word for it. There's hundreds of A Spokesman Said customers who save big. Brian from Derbyshire saved £400 on his energy bills. Jim in Glasgow, a whopping £600. Kurt from Surrey saved over £300 on his home insurance. And Tony from Northampton saved a massive £2,800 on his energy bills. Don't pay the price for not shopping around. Visit aspokesmansaid.com and you could be saving money on your bills in time for Christmas. Chaps, where are we? 13 minutes to 10 o'clock across the capital. By the way, Wimbledon have beaten Haringey just. Ever so slightly just. And I've got a feel for my mate Mark Kirby. There he is. I told the Chelsea lads that when the draw was made, he put on Facebook, "How can I lose 2 stone in 2 weeks?"
very difficult.
And inside about 15 minutes of the game, they kept panning to him because he kept literally just like shaking his head going, I can't do it. There he is. He's chugging along, bless him.
Looks a decent centre-half.
Yeah, he is actually a decent centre-half. And many a conversation we've had has sort of basically just rested on the fact that he can't be bothered, really. He's too lazy to be a footballer.
It's the magic of the FA Cup. It's still a great competition. Look at that, you know, that game we've got there, right? Haringey at home to AFC Wimbledon.
That's like John Parkin.
You know, in a week where we're talking, the club's talking about forming a European Super League. I'm picking my language carefully, listeners, because I don't want to get dumped.
Don't forget the extra.
For the extra, the extra. But in the week that we've got that nonsense going on, it's just fantastic to see a game at Haringey's ground over in this, you know, Tottenham somewhere, I guess.
It's actually on White
Hart Lane, yeah, in a pouring rain. That's what football is and what it should be about. So, you know,
not about the elite.
It shouldn't be, but obviously there's reality and then there's what you romantically like, but that's a fantastic
Sky Sports Leeds
fixture.
We were about to talk about that. Millwall's championship fixture against Blackburn Rovers at the Den will now be televised on Sky Sports.
All around the world, that game's going to go
around
the globe.
You're missing the key word there.
Beamed
to places from Antarctica to the Serengeti Desert. They'll be watching Millwall at home on 5:30 kickoff versus Blackburn
in Mogadishu.
Downtown Mogadishu. They'll say, "Stop the guns are blazing for a moment. Let's put the telly on and put Millwall on."
Downtown Mogadishu. There will be no one in sight. No one in sight.
There'll be tribesmen.
I think they'd have to pay people to get people not to watch.
In deepest Borneo, saying, you know, and their only words of English will be Steve Morrison.
It's like, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street. Steve Madden.
Steve Madden. Steve.
Women's
Steve
shoes.
Morrison.
Gregory stretching. Morrison's there.
Such a terrible impression.
I'm sorry. I don't do. Oh, I can't say the
it's
word
a
of.
Combination
the...
of Donny Azoff and the Rain Man.
Well, yeah. To be fair, your mate's on telly now. He's talking.
Yeah, there he is, Curbs. Love you, mate.
John Parkins.
I did text him today. He was like, "Thanks, man."
Just say your radio mates think he looks like John Parkins' younger twin.
Why have Sky chosen the Mill versus Blackburn game?
Something needs to clean the Leeds palette
because it's reap proper.
I mean, there's a contractual obligation to show so many games per club, I believe. So they've got to show one of our games
they've
at some stage.
Two so far this season.
Yeah.
There was a game on Sky this evening. A championship game. It was
Sheffield
Steel City Derby.
Oh, how did that go?
Blade 0-0 nil all nil each
nil each
nil each.
Did Neil Warnock turn up at half time and go, "Where's that muscat?"
That foot muscat.
That foot muscat.
Tongue, get your boots on, lad. I'm retired, gaffer. No, Tongue, get your boots on.
Paddy, what's he done to your nose?
That little muscat. You can Paddy Kenny just crying.
Yeah.
Muscat that was. You want
Phil
to
Jags.
Match day?
Jags.
Match day hospitality. Backup keeper, mate.
Match day hospitality. Does anyone like going in the corporate boxes?
Yes, I love
it. You love it. What about you,
Harry?
Would you like it?
I've never been invited.
You've been invited.
Brandon,
you've been invited.
I'd like to.
Brandon's never been in the corporate box. I have been in the corporate box, and
it was delightful.
It's not football as I.
No. You're not getting the PR bit here.
The curry was the best curry I've ever eaten in my life.
Oh, right. Yes it was. Yes.
The service was phenomenal.
And the only thing I'd say with the Millwall corporate boxes and the VIP sections, actually, is it's very similar to being on the terraces. There's not really an awful lot of difference.
They are two rows behind.
You don't raise your social status.
Yes, it was like a five-star terrace.
They're two rows behind where I sit normally, where I'd done my piece the camera last week.
You piece the camera?
I was on Sky, mate.
Were you?
Yeah. Harry's our new Sky TV taken over.
You sent it to me.
I can't.
I'm sorry, mate. Well, we can save it for the extra.
Please do.
I can't keep doing this. Isn't there any new stars for TV now? My day's done.
I've still got face for radio. Anyway, got the voice for radio.
Anyway,
and face for it too.
It was a silky smooth pint of lager I enjoyed at Ari's Bar at the Den.
Yes, it made me forget all of my troubles, and I'll go there for a glass of beer and some jelly eels.
Now, corporate boxes, I mean, they're an essential part of the game. It's just I struggle with the idea sometimes, especially at a place like Wembley and even Arsenal.
I thought Club Wembley was lovely. Because it avoids strings. These people that
strings,
come to Millwall
who annoy me.
That turn up for one game of season. However, we need you to buy season tickets, so continue to support
the reason that I raised the subject is that I was looking through my Millwall weekly newsletter and they were trying to sell corporate boxes for the forthcoming Christmas fixtures.
Oh.
I don't know how much.
Should we do our Christmas doing a Christmas box?
I used to walk into the club shop, Brandon, say, I fancy myself a nice corporate box. How much would that cost me? It's a few £1000s, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's got to be.
It's quite expensive. When are the shirts? We don't sell them in the shop.
Where is the beautiful away orange away kit going in the sale?
Yeah, when they're going on half price.
Because I need to do a double. I want one as a high visibility jacket and football kit.
I've actually got that kit. I actually like it.
You like the orange?
I like the orange. My favourite colour.
Was it your decision to make it fly away from home in grey?
No, it wasn't.
We found the man. There we go. Gentlemen, ring in now.
It's dire, in my opinion.
That's a show in itself.
So at Millwall Derby, I was obviously sat in the press box. Yeah. But you know, if you look right, there's like a massive hospitality bank of people.
Yes, sir.
It literally looks like, you know, like a scene from like The Craze. You know, like all the men decked up in their finery and like their ladies just.
Was there a lot of Ben Sherman?
There was a lot of Ben Sherman. There was a lot of
Barbo.
You what?
Barber.
No, mate. They're all a lot of suits, a lot of ties, a lot of freebies.
No wax shoot.
A lot of freebies. I saw a lady wearing a hat.
Nutty, nutty turnout, as they call it.
It was very good. And, you know, in their little padded chairs, their little padded arm wrestle.
Yeah, you have a padded seat up there, yeah.
Nice. Club Wembley,
but it's not terribly different. I mean, the language is still as industrial.
Colourful.
As you get. Colourful.
You just get one of the ladies going, Colin, please.
I've never heard you say that before. Yeah.
So, if you're listening and you fancy a corporate box out there, dear listeners, they're available over the Christmas period.
So when I used to run nightclubs, we myself and one of my business partners decided, like, you know, if we're going to advertise, we want, like, the full shebang. So okay. We went to that place that I called a tin can with a roof last week, the Medeski Stadium.
Reading,
it was just a fellow with a calculator. literally a fellow with a calculator.
Didn't have another super mad, you know, make some noise for the boys moment last week when they were like 1-0 up.
Make some noise for them boys.
Yeah, I know. They went 1-0 up, then 2-1, then 3-2, didn't they? They
had also that fella's game. Understudy, you know.
Oh yeah. What did you learn from him?
Our guy, Mr. By For Now, who does the Millwall
he's
announcement.
He's an accountant.
Yeah, but he's been there. I can remember Mr. By For Now being there when I started going. You're going back to 1970s.
I like that. Do you know what I love the most? Is a little welcome he does. And a very warm welcome and a good afternoon to all the players, directors, football, you know, that staff and officials.
Used to have a sign off.
West Ham United.
And our fans will make you feel especially welcome.
He used to just sign off. He used to say, tell your friends to tell their friends about the next Millwall fixture. It might be Millwall versus Chester or something. You know, tell your friends to tell their friends. You know, it's kind of multi-viral.
Basically, do you know what
verbal,
that's
viral
the early kind of form of social media.
Absolutely. Yeah, it
was. That's like hitting share on Facebook, retweet.
Bermondsey bot.
The Bermondsey beat.
Yeah. And his sign off is obviously bye for now.
To be fair,
he's got a great voice.
Yeah, he's got a fantastic voice. He could be the number one DJ in Bermondsey.
And you do notice it when he's not there. That's the thing. It's not the same.
Every single season, we have a weird phenomenon that you think, is he still here?
He goes on holiday.
Because he has to go on holiday, doesn't he?
He's got to go on holiday.
Yeah, but he goes on holiday in the football season.
Yeah, he's got that all wrong. He's gone for his 2 weeks in Bognor, and you lot are going, oh my God, where is he?
Name's Les something. He's an estate agent.
Club, I'm sure, will contact us in the week and tell us.
Thank you very much.
Big up, Les.
Yeah, let's have some score burritos.
1-1.
We'll do well, get a point now. I'm going to go with 1-1, but that's heart in the head.
I'll go for 1-1 as well.
0-1.
Nil. What's Millwall?
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay, nice.
Do you reckon Morrison's going to come back to Horton?
Potentially.
Let's
hope
that.
Yeah. Right, this is Love Sport Radio with your London football fan shows. That's it. We're done for another week. Bubba Watson's back Sunday night from 7. He's taking you through the week because I am off on my hollybobs. Have a good week. I'll see you a week Monday where we talk all things West Ham from 7.
Love Sport, 558 AM.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.